Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I told you a few years ago when you were watching the Beast version of Brock Lesnar that this would not be the best version of Brock Lesnar, because if he started coming out saying, hey man, I'm a farmer and wearing dungarees, we'd all go, oh my gosh, this guy is great. But that is what has happened over the last few weeks, and it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. I love good guy, hero, babyface Brock. And I'm here for all of it. My name is also Simon Miller of What Culture. Thank you very much for joining me, as always. And because we have had another episode of Smackdown, we take the finger of power and we give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. And as usual, some of it was excellent and some of it will make you go, ha, 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 what the flub is going on? Let's up those downs. Right, Sami Zayn and Brock Lesnar are great together, and somehow we need to keep their storyline going for as long as possible. And the first thing we saw on SmackDown this week was Sami Zayn literally getting wheeled to the ring by two nurses, and the very first thing he said when he got a microphone is, oh, by the way, I'm the toughest guy in WWE, because Sami Zayn is great. As he told us as well, it wasn't the multiple German suplexes or the fact that both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns beat him up last week that hurts. It's the fact that Brock Lesnar turned his back on him, and that's why he's going to sue Adam Pearce. That's why he's going to sue Sonya Deville. He's going to sue Brock Lesnar. He's going to sue Roman Reigns. He's going to sue you, and he's going to sue me, and damn it, I'll take it. Paul Heyman soon interrupted, I guess because he knows all about lawsuits, and Sammy was so annoyed about this, he almost instantly got out of his chair, and that made me laugh. Heyman also told us that Roman Reigns isn't going to be here tonight because he's training for the Day One pay-per-view, and all of a sudden it seemed like Sammy Zayn was gonna smack him right in the mouth. But then all became clear to me, because who came out to make the save? Kinda none other than Brock Lesnar. And instantly Sami Zayn sat right back in his chair, which made me laugh, but this was so simple and it was so smart. And he was all like, Sami Zayn, you should be saying thank you to me, because I did you a favor last week because I stopped you having a proper match with Roman Reigns. I don't understand how that makes any sense, because Brock absolutely destroyed him. But who's going to argue with this guy? Lesnar even went as far to say that he does want to be friends with Sami Zayn and that they should get together and go hunting in Canada. And I was like, man, I need some kind of buddy movie cop thing between these two guys yesterday. And if somebody hasn't commissioned it, what the flub is going on? They even started to leave together when Heyman got back on the microphone and was like, man, I must have taken a bunch of drugs, because what the hell is going on? This is Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar kills people. And I suppose this kind of fueled Brock Lesnar, because all of a sudden he did transform into the Brock Lesnar as old, and he wiped out everyone. So many ways you could say, wait a minute, he beat up some nurses, so he should be the biggest bad guy ever. But he's not, because for some reason he's just so cool. Even though, like I said, he was out there wearing dungarees or overalls, Brock Lesnar is just the best. So of course we achieved a lot here, and now we're all going, well, is Paul Heyman actually working with Brock Lesnar again? We don't know. So it's just bravo all around. This worked terrifically, and it's getting it up. We then found out that RK-Bro were going to be on SmackDown to find out who the best tag team in WWE was, because they were going to be taking on the Usos and the New Day. Now, one, nobody ever explained how this was justified, but also two, Wasn't that the point of Survivor Series? Wasn't the whole point of Survivor Series, oh my God, who's the best person in WWE? This made absolutely no sense, and if we're going to do this, why don't we just kill the brand split forever? We also had a quick interview with Brock Lesnar where he was asked, Brock, why did you go to the ring right now? And do you know what he said? Why don't you ask my advocate, Paul Heyman? So you can see what we're doing here, and I genuinely don't know in which direction it's going to head, which means it must be a very good wrestling storyline. And then from nowhere, WWE went WWE, because it was Humberto Carrillo, or Humberto, and Angel Garza, or Angel, taking on Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. And even though Angel and Humberto, I think, are on an undefeated streak, they got to the ring, and they lost in 1 minute and 30 seconds. Down. Because, I mean, seriously, they just fought for around about 60 seconds. Then Shinsuke got in there. He hit the Kinshasa onto Humberto and he pinned him and the ref went 1, 2, 3. And I was so surprised because I didn't think this was going to be the finish. I honestly sat there looking at my TV like this. And who did this help either? Who did it help? I barely had a chance to breathe before this match was over. And it's just 50-50 booking at its absolute worst. And it is ridiculous. Xavier Woods was then here doing what Xavier Woods does. And of course, he's back with Kofi Kingston. I mean, these guys. It was all about him getting his new crown after Roman Reigns broke the last one. And he was surrounded by Drew Gulak and the Viking Raiders, but also Ricochet. And that kind of confused me because it's like, why is Ricochet here? He had a cool video last week. I thought he was going to explode back onto the SmackDown scene. But now he just cares about crowns. I think there was some teasing here as well, because when the New Day were like, we're the best tag team ever, the Viking Raiders looked at them as if they'd just stolen their wallet. And also, you gotta go see this crown. It is the biggest thing you will ever witness in your entire life. Another reason why I love Xavier Woods, he is a silly, silly guy in the best possible way. And then, I swear, WWE lost their damn mind. Because despite having two general managers at the moment, Drew McIntyre found Adam Pearce in the back and he was all like, oh, why wasn't I in the Battle Royal a couple of weeks ago? And Adam Pearce said, it's because a higher authority figure said you couldn't be. And I was like, wait a minute. Higher authority figure, he means the higher power. Oh, Austin, it was me, damn it, it was me. And of course, they never said the higher power, but how could that not go into your brain? And then apparently, according to this higher power, through Adam Pearce, which is the strangest sentence ever, he was like, oh yeah. And this person also said, you ain't allowed to take your sword to the ring anymore. So what did Drew McIntyre do? He took the sword and he stabbed it right through Adam Pearce's face and he watched him die. I mean, that didn't happen. Instead, he just stabbed it through the desk. But that is still a very, very weird thing to do. Also, why would Drew McIntyre trust this person? Oh yeah, somebody else said you can't do this anymore. Well, who is this person? Don't worry about it, just obey me. Sasha Banks was then backstage wishing Toni Storm well, because of course she is going to have a match with Charlotte Flair later. And I honestly sat there and went, there is no way she's going to win that. Until I found out it was a championship contender opportunity match or something like that. But honestly, if I had known in what direction this was going to go, I probably would have turned off. When that was done too, from nowhere, we were told it was going to be Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. And I swear that WWE never realized what they had with these two. Because it was excellent, as all their matches have been, but this whole feud has been so disjointed. Like, it started and then they were friends and they weren't friends and then it stopped. If we had actually planned this out, this probably would have been one of the feuds of 2021. And don't get me wrong, I am happy to watch it as many times as possible, but I do feel like we dropped the ball just a little bit. However, up. Cesaro was watching from backstage at the dumbest angle you've ever seen in your life. Like, it was honestly like this. Imagine I was watching television from this direction, you'd think I was super weird. And even more worryingly, we didn't see Ridge Holland on this episode of SmackDown, and he was only mentioned in name. So put your hands up if you're now thinking he may be about to vanish. And stay up. Otherwise, though, basically what happened is that Drew looked at Sheamus and Sheamus looked at Drew, and the bell rang, ding, ding, ding. They ran at each other and they just tried to rip each other's heads off. This was so stiff, this was so violent, it was so brutal, but it was so damn good. I mean, Sheamus was diving off the apron at one point thinking he was some kind of cruiserweight. I mean, Drew went to hit him with the claymore, he got out of the way and just smashed him in the face with a knee. But when that didn't work, he went for the bro kick, but Drew McIntyre got out of the way with that. And because he was thrown into the turnbuckle, it was like some kind of power pad, because he came flying back out. He did indeed connect with the claymore, and he got the win. I really enjoyed this, though. I really did, to the point afterwards I went, well, thank you very much. And I was like, I don't know who I'm talking to. I really do need some help. We also had some fallout to this, because in the back, Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin didn't just steal Drew McIntyre's sword, but they stole the whole desk. They just found this desk and they ran away with it. And these two will probably make this work. They do find them very entertaining. But also, if they are going to start doing this kind of stuff, one of them, at the very least, should become Repo Man. We got a video for Jack Lanza after this, who very sadly did pass away this week. And it was a very fitting tribute. And what a career that guy had. When Kayla Braxton was trying to interview Paul Heyman again as he was leaving the arena. She was like, I kind of think you were bigging up Brock Lesnar out there and that Roman Reigns wouldn't like that. And of course, Paul Heyman freaked out and he ran away. Up next, it was meant to be Naomi versus Sonya Deville, but it didn't happen. Shucks. Now, this would have been annoying if WWE didn't have something up their sleeve, but as it turned out, WWE did have something up their sleeve. And of course, when Sonya Deville got to the ring, she was all like, oh, Naomi, I've got a little bit of surprise for you, because not only do we have a special timekeeper known as Shayna Baszler, but we also have a special ring announcer known as Natalia. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound fair. I don't think those two are qualified for those roles, so I'm calling shenanigans. Naomi soon realized she was screwed, so she went on the attack, but of course wrestling maths meant she didn't have a chance in hell, when all of a sudden Xia Li's music started to play and honestly flubbed me sideways. This is the kind of thing that WWE should be doing for all debutantes. She had this badass entrance when lightning was coming out of her body, and if you'd never seen her before, your instant reaction would be, well, who the hell is this guy? She just murked everybody out of the ring as well, as all the heels were like, oh my gosh, I'm terrified. So now straight away, I'm excited to see what she's going to do next week. It really can be that simple. Just make people badasses and just make people cool. That's why it's getting it up. Although I do have to say, because she's being portrayed as a superhero and making the save, it was kind of funny that Naomi was in trouble, but Xia Li still did her whole entrance when she was doing all these moves. I was like, Xia, you are wasting a lot of time right now. You probably want to get going. The cast of Jackass then turned up on SmackDown. I mean, they know they've got a new movie coming out, but it was a bit like, how the hell did that happen? They were talking to RK-Bro, and obviously Riddle was getting super excited about this. And when they turned to Randy Orton, they said, Randy, how do you feel? He was like, I don't care. And he just walked off. And then, yes, our big plan for Toni Storm versus Charlotte Flair became clear. Do you remember what I just said literally seconds ago about making people look cool and making people look like badasses? We did not do that here, down. Because while the match was quite good and the fans were behind Toni Storm, and I was like, well, hoo-wah, hey, that works. Around about 3 minutes in, I can't help it, I try not to laugh, Charlotte Flair started to beat Toni Storm up, as you're meant to do in a wrestling match. But the ref went, no, I think you're beating her up a little bit too badly, so I am going to call for the disqualification. I mean, look at me. I cannot stop shaking my head because now, of course, Toni Storm is the number one contender, but it's happened in the weakest way possible. And unless she's going to go on to beat Charlotte Flair for the championship, which I do not believe deep down in my tum-tum at all this does is make Toni Storm look like an idiot. And I've watched Toni Storm for a lot of her career. She no idiot. This finish just has to die as well, because no one should ever lose because they got punched too many times in the head, when one of the things about professional wrestling is to punch your opponent. Also, yes, bring it down. There's the DQ board that rolls up to 68, which means we're probably going to hit 70 disqualifications in 2021. I just don't get it. I mean, who in their right mind thinks this is getting Toni Storm over? Nobody. I think we then got the explanation for why RK-Bro are on SmackDown, and it's because they won sort of Twitter poll. I just went, what? What does that even mean? But apparently that's why they're here. It also meant our main event was RK-Bro versus the New Day versus the Usos to find out the best tag team in WWE. Although surely if you're the tag champions, that makes you the best tag team in WWE. But none of this matters because all these six guys are great. And it's getting it up. The whole thing as well was built around the fact that Randy Orton was desperate to get a tag, but Riddle kept getting beaten up, but also people kept screwing the Viper over. Like at one point, an Uso pulled him off the apron, Kofi Kingston stopped him, Riddle and Orton were about to tag, but they just couldn't do it. It was like you really wanted a PS5 for Christmas, but instead you got a flipping Game Gear. Riddle also took a tonking throughout this match, which I guess is just his role at the moment. And when he did make the hot tag for Randy Orton, I don't care what your feelings about Mr. Randy are, He went absolutely wild and the crowd loved it. And I couldn't help it. The energy came out of the TV, it smacked me right in my face, and I was like, man, I'm having a good time. He also went crazy on the outside of the ring because members of the New Day kept running at him, so he just kept giving them back suplexes. And then he got back in the ring and he saw Jimmy Uso and he's like, you know what? I'm gonna give you an RKO. Sadly, he didn't realize that Xavier Woods had made a blind tag, and then Jey Uso was back in there to kick Randy Orton right in the face, but then Jey Uso was the legal man somehow. So New Day hit that backbreaker, footstop, finish thingamajig, and they got the pin. And despite not being any version of WWE Tag Team Champions, we were told the New Day are the best tag team in WWE. I don't know, but this was fun. SmackDown then just ended, so yeah, I don't know why we did this match. I suppose we just had nothing else. But again, it was entertaining. And really, if you go into WWE these days thinking that they're going to explain everything, well, you haven't been watching for a long ass time. Also, the brand split is rubbish and I would be happy if WWE did do away with it. But I thought this SmackDown was actually quite enjoyable. There is far more nonsense on it than there was about 6 months ago. It's like Raw has infected a little bit. But like I say, I had a good time. I'm giving it up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.